Well, it's great to be back with you all tonight. It's good to be home. My heart is full tonight just thinking about all the memories that have flooded my mind since I've been here this morning and tonight, seeing everybody going out with Pastor yesterday, spending some time with him. And I'm so thankful for this church. It started a long time ago. We live right across the street from, or right around the corner from Pastor Blaylock and his family. And I met Andy and I met Rick, and we sort of became friends. Every time I wanted to play with them, they said no. But no, I'm just kidding. I met them. They used to invite me to church, but I would never go. Some circumstances happened in our family's life, and our house was taken from us, and we moved right across the street from the Hatcher family. And that's just the Lord seeking to save that which was lost. And as we moved across the street from the Hatchers, I noticed Rick and Charlie outside playing basketball. And many of you know the story, but I invited myself over to play with them. And they tell me that I went home crying a lot because they used to block me. I don't remember any of that. But what I do remember is one day Charlie taking me into the house and sitting down with one of those 100% sure blue gospel tracks that you have. And nervously as he was, he went through that gospel track and told me that I was a sinner. He told me that we do things, all of us do things that displease God. And because of that, you can pay for your own sin or you can accept the payment that Jesus already made for you. And nervously, Charlie went through that gospel track. And I didn't get saved that day, but I started coming to Awana on Monday night. I was on Mrs. Frayer's yellow team. Where's Mrs. Frayer at? That's right. We were awesome together, had a great time. Charlie was always like, go get the pin in the middle, get the points, or don't come back. And Mrs. Frayer was always like, just do the best you can. And I love being on the yellow team, and I love being in Awana. And sure enough, eventually I started coming to church on the bus. And I'm so thankful for the bus ministry. It really made a difference in my life. The Lord has given me a great burden to reach inner city kids and kids with the van ministry, bus ministry, and as you know, Pastor Blaylock's also a product of the bus ministry, but I'm so thankful for this church. Literally, you've all have changed my life. You've changed my family's life, and I couldn't imagine my life without Beacon Baptist Church. And so I'm just very thankful. We sang about salvation tonight. If it wasn't for this church, I would have never been reached. And so I'm so grateful for that. I'm grateful to have my family here today, my dad. I told him I wouldn't embarrass him, so I won't. I have my Aunt Jen here and my cousin Christian with his man beard. That's what I'm talking about. I'm going to embarrass him a little bit. And Peggy's here. I'm so thankful all of you are here. I'm very thankful for Madison. And if you have time sometime, ask me about how we met. You'll probably laugh. But anyway, Genesis chapter number 50. I'm thankful to be here. Genesis chapter number 50. I want to take some few verses here. Genesis chapter number 50, beginning in verse number 14. Genesis 50 and verse number 14, the Bible says, "And Joseph returned into Egypt, and his brethren, and all that went up with him to bury his father. After he had buried his father, when Joseph's brethren saw that their father was dead, they said, Joseph will peradventure hate us, and will certainly requite us all the evil which we did unto him. And they sent a messenger unto Joseph, saying, Thy father did command before he died, saying, So shall ye say unto Joseph, Forgive, I pray thee now, the trespass of thy brethren and their sin, for they did unto thee evil. And now we pray thee, forgive the trespass of the servants of God thy father. And Joseph wept when they spake unto him. And his brethren also went and fell down before his face. And they said, Behold, we be thy servants. And Joseph said unto them, Fear not, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass all as it is this day, to save much people alive. Now therefore fear ye not, I will nourish you and your little ones. And he comforted them and spake kindly unto them." We all know perhaps the story of Joseph. If you don't know the story of Joseph tonight, I trust by the end of tonight the story will be familiar to you. We have the luxury tonight of reading the entire story of Joseph. Joseph is a man that God used in a mighty way to preserve the Israelites, but we have the luxury of reading from chapter 37 all the way to chapter 50, the short biographical sketch of the man named Joseph. We see that he's a type of the Lord Jesus Christ, perhaps in the Old Testament. I don't know of a better type of Christ that we find. You think Both Mary and his mother, it was impossible for them to have birth, but we see that they were both birth. Jesus was born of a virgin, and God provided Joseph. They were both loved by their fathers. They were both given authority from their father. They were rejected by their brethren, and Jesus was rejected of his own. They were both falsely accused. They were both sold for pieces of silver. They were both exalted as Jesus ascended to the throne. We see that Joseph is somebody that is just a good picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. Can you picture the story? By way of introduction, first of all, I want you to consider something here. First of all, Joseph was treated in a special way by his father. You back up all the way to chapter 37. Joseph was the favorite of all the children there, of all the 12 boys. He was the favorite. His father gave him a coat of many colors. He was received preferential treatment. He was the one that his father loved. He was the one that was born of Rachel. Everybody, or Jacob loved his son Joseph. He received preferential treatment from his father. But we move on and we see some other things in the life of Joseph. Not only did Joseph receive special treatment from his father, but Joseph was traded into slavery. Of course, his brothers looked at everything that they saw concerning Joseph. They saw the preferential treatment. They saw the coat of many colors. They saw how Jacob loved Joseph more than them all. And that made them bitter. That made them angry. That made him hate their brother Joseph. And so Joseph, just doing what he was supposed to do, went to check on his brothers that were supposed to be feeding the sheep. And as he goes to do that, he finds his brothers. His brothers then trade him into slavery. They throw him in a pit. And he has reason right there to be bitter, but we'll keep going and we'll talk about some other things. Joseph was traded into slavery. And then he goes to Potiphar's house. He gets falsely accused. And then he finds his time in the slammer, if you will. He goes to prison. He's in the prison. Some Bible teachers think that he was in the prison as much as 10 years even. He was 17 when he was traded into slavery. He was 30 when he got taken out of the prison and brought to the palace. But we find that he spends a good chunk of his young life in the prison. Not only did we find that he was treated in a special way by his father, not only was he traded into slavery, not only did he spend time in the slammer, but we see that Joseph was transferred to second in command of the nation of Egypt. There he was in chapter 39, you know the account. He was there in prison, and everywhere he went, Joseph found favor in the sight of the Lord. Joseph found favor in the sight of the prison keeper, in the sight of Potiphar. Joseph was a person who was filled with the Lord no matter what his circumstances were. Joseph was transferred to second in command in Egypt. And then we find that Joseph talked with his siblings. They come to Egypt. As you know, there's famine in the land. As Joseph's in prison, the baker and the butler come down and they have these dreams. Joseph gets out because he interprets those dreams. And then the Pharaoh has a dream. And he has these dreams about famine in the land. Joseph, with the power of God on his life, goes and interprets those dreams, and he's made second in command. His brothers come to get food from the land of Egypt, and they find out that their brother Joseph is still alive. And so can you imagine the picture? They're troubled. They find out these things. But I love this. This is the picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, Joseph is. Can you picture the brothers going home to their father, Jacob? Can you picture the first one running? Hey, Jacob, Dad, guess what? Guess what, Dad? You're never going to guess this. But our brother Joseph, he's living. We thought he was dead. We thought he got traded away somewhere. But our brother, he is living. This is an amazing picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. But the next brother comes running in. Not only is he living, hey, Dad, guess what? Not only is our brother living, but Dad, guess what? Not only is he living, but he's Lord of Egypt. Oh, that's so exciting. Jacob's so excited. He's so just happy to see all that's going on. Then another brother comes in. He comes in. Not only is Joseph living, not only is Joseph Lord, but he comes in. Hey, Dad, guess what? Not only is Joseph living, not only is Joseph Lord, but Dad, Joseph loves us. Oh, it's exciting. He's such a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. But that's not it. The next person comes in. The next brother. Dad, Joseph's living. Joseph's Lord. Joseph loves us. But not only is that, Dad, I want you to know that Joseph's longing for us. He wants us to come and see him. What a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. Can't you tell I'm getting a little excited? It's okay if you get excited too. But then the next brother comes in. Hey, Dad, guess what? Joseph is living. Joseph loves us. Joseph is Lord. Joseph is longing for us. He wants to see us. And Joseph has prepared a land for us. Tell me that's not a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. But that's not all. The next brother comes in. Hey, Dad, guess what? Joseph is living. Yeah, I heard that already. That's okay. Dad, Joseph is Lord. Yeah, that's good too. Dad, guess what? Joseph living. He's Lord. He loves us. He's longing for us. He's prepared a land for us. And Dad, guess what? Joseph's loaded. We have the luxury of seeing all that transpired, but don't you forget that Joseph, in chapter 39, had no idea what was going to happen next. In his life, he could have gotten bitter. He could have just said, forget about this God that says he's going to take care of me. But why don't we flip over to chapter 39 and look at some things. Chapter 39. If I have a title for this, I entitle it, Living in the 39th Chapter. Living in the 39th Chapter. Let's look at verse number 1, chapter 39. And Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and to Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him out of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. And the Lord was with Joseph. And he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. And Joseph found grace in his sight and served him, and he made him an overseer over his house, and all that he had he put into his hand. And it came to pass that from the time that he had made him overseer of the house and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in his field. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he knew not aught what he had save the bread which he did eat. And Joseph was a goodly person and well favored. And it came to pass that after these things that the master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said, lie with me. But he refused and said unto his master's wife, behold, my master wotteth not what is with me in this house. And he had committed all that he hath to my hand. There is none greater in this house than I, neither hath he kept anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? Let's keep reading. And it came to pass, as she spake to Joseph day by day, that he hearkened not unto her to lie by her or to be with her. And it came to pass about this time that Joseph went into the house and to do his business. And there was none of the men of the house there within. And she caught him by the garment, saying, lie with me. And he left his garment in her hand and fled and got him out. And it came to pass, when she saw that he had left the garment in her hand and was fled forth, that she called unto the men of her house and spake unto him, saying, see, he hath brought an Hebrew unto us to mock us. And it came unto me to lie with me. And I cried with a loud voice. And it came to pass, when he heard that I lifted up my voice and cried, that he left his garment with me and fled and got him out. And she laid up his garment by her until his Lord came home. And he spake unto him according to these words, saying, the Hebrew servant which thou hast brought unto us came unto us to mock me. And it came to pass, as I lifted up my voice and cried, that he left the garment with me, and I fled out. And it came to pass, his master heard the words of his wife, which he spake unto him, saying, after this manner did thy servant to me. This, that his wrath was kindled. Verse number 20. And Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound. And he was there in the prison. Living in the 39th chapter, Joseph had a promising future as a young person. He was loved by his dad. He received preferential treatment. God was with him every place he went. And in chapter 37, we find that Joseph has a dream. God's going to do something great with this young man's life, but his plans went awry, so he thought. Here he finds himself, his brothers hated him, he's traded into slavery. Now he finds himself lied on. He was abused and he was slandered and he finds himself in a prison. If anybody had a reason to be bitter, it was Joseph. Perhaps tonight in a crowd this size, there are people that are living in the 39th chapter. Somebody perhaps has wronged you. Somebody has done something wrong to you. There's something in your life. And perhaps you're going through a spiritual famine in your life. You're living in the 39th chapter. But I think here tonight, we have a great example in the man Joseph of what to do when you're living in the 39th chapter. First of all, I want you to consider this. Joseph had a relationship with the Almighty. Look at verse number 1, please. The Bible says, and Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh's captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him in the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. I like this verse, verse 2. And the Lord was with Joseph. Joseph had a relationship with the Almighty. I want you to know that the reason that Joseph could stay absolute, the reason that Joseph stayed on for the Lord is because he had a close, intimate relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not a relationship where he just opens up his Bible reading schedule and checks off the things that he read. No, he was a person that was in fellowship with God. Consider, first of all, under this, that he was purchased. I like this one. Look again at verse number 1. And Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, and the officer of the Pharaoh, the captain of the guard, an Egyptian, I like this word, bought him. I love that word, bought him. Aren't you glad tonight that if you're going through trials, if you're living in the 39th chapter, that Jesus' blood has bought you back? I could just imagine Potiphar standing there as they're bringing the people by. Hey, what about this person? Or what about this person? But all of a sudden walks Joseph up, and Potiphar looks and he says, oh, I like this one. This person, he's a ruddy guy. Looks like he's a strong fellow. I think I like him. And then perhaps they were doing bidding there. And perhaps Potiphar raised his hand and said, I want to buy that one. Hey, I'm so glad tonight that Jesus looked down and he saw my sinful soul. He saw my wicked soul and he says, I want to buy that one. He purchased us with his precious blood. He had a relationship with the Almighty. He was purchased. Not only that, he was prosperous. God blessed the work of his hands. God was doing a great work through this man, Joseph. He was prosperous. We see that he was promoted. The Lord was with this man. It wasn't just, I come to God when I need something from him. This man was in fellowship with God. One preacher said, once you get to the only place that, when you get to the only place where you have nothing, you realize that God is the only person that you need. And Joseph was here in the 39th chapter, struggling through everything. And he was in slavery. He was in Egypt, a land a long way from where he grew up, away from his Hebrew God, and he was away from all of his family. But we find, even though nobody knew who he was, he still had a relationship with God. Perhaps he abided in the presence of God. When he goes to pray, it's not just one of these quick Twitter-type prayers where you get in a few characters and you're done. But no, perhaps Joseph spent a lot of time on his knees praying and asking God, help me, Lord. Help me to be faithful to you even in the 39th chapter of my life. Again, a reminder that Joseph did not know that there was a chapter 41. He did not know that there was a chapter 50. This was what Joseph's life was. He was in Egypt, away from people that he knew, away from his God, so to speak. But yet, we find him still having a strong relationship with the Almighty. Joseph had a relationship with the Almighty, but secondly, I want you to consider this. Joseph had a remarkable attitude. Joseph had a remarkable attitude. Look, please, at verse number 2. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord, let's take note of that word, the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in all his hand. Question for you. How did Potiphar know that the Lord was with him? Anyone want to take a guess at that? Because Joseph had a remarkable attitude, because Joseph talked about his God even when he was living in slavery. He had a remarkable attitude. I want you to consider the first thing we talked about was a relationship with the Almighty. That talks about God's ownership. God can do anything that he wants with us. He owns us. He bought us with his precious blood. All the circumstances we go through are in his hand, but the remarkable attitude, that is a lesson of opportunity. We make a choice to respond to the things that happen to us. I think about Job. In the book of Job, all these things happen to him. You know, when things that come into your life that you cannot control, it is your decision, it is your choice to react to those things. What are you going to do? Joseph had a remarkable attitude. On his job, as he was a slave in Potiphar's house, as he was in Egypt, a place far away from everything that he knew, he still had a remarkable attitude. You know, sometimes the Bible says a lot by what it does not say. You know what I find in chapter 39? I find no evidence of bitterness. I find no evidence of hatred towards his family. I find no evidence of a pity party that he's having. The only thing I see right here is that Joseph had the Lord with him. The Lord was with Joseph. He had a remarkable attitude. What's your attitude like when things come into your life that you struggle with? When you have trials, when you have things that go on in your life, when you're tempted, when you're slandered as Joseph's about to be, when you're living in the 39th chapter, it is your choice how you react to that. Look, we all have things that we cannot control that come into our lives. It's what we do with those things, the reaction or response that we have. I challenge you tonight to have a remarkable attitude. Keep on trusting the Lord. Keep on serving the Lord. Keep going back to the Scriptures. Keep your relationship with the Almighty straight and right and powerful and intimate. But have a remarkable attitude. I think of another person that was taken from his home, David. David was taken away from, or not, excuse me, not David. Daniel was taken away from his home. He was taken to Babylon, away from everything. And there it says he served the Lord. I want you to know that though we have certain circumstances that come into our life that we struggle with, that we have hard times with, maybe you have a diagnosis from the doctor that you are having trouble with, or maybe you're having problems in your family, you're trying to serve the Lord as Joseph was, but I'm trying to say that it is your choice. Have a remarkable attitude in all that. Joseph chose to live for the Lord in all that. Joseph had a relationship with the Almighty. Joseph had a remarkable attitude. But a third thing I want you to consider, Joseph remained absolute. Joseph remained absolute. Look at chapter 41, please. Chapter number 41 and verse number 1, the Bible says, "And it came to pass at the end of 2 full years, Pharaoh dreamed, and behold, he stood by the river." We'll just stop right there. 2 full years, huh? I remind you that Joseph was in prison. Pharaoh sent the butler and Pharaoh sent the baker down to that prison. And these baker and the butler have a dream. And they say, "Is there anybody that can interpret this dream?" And of course, Joseph says, "I know, because I know the Lord and all the interpretations are in his hand." And Joseph goes with a remarkable attitude to these two men and he interprets the dream that they have. The baker is going to die, but the butler is going to be restored. And sure enough, as the butler is being restored, Joseph says, "Hey, remember me when you go to Pharaoh." I can imagine that there's a lot of hope wrapped up in that statement. "I'm going to get out of this prison cell. I'm going to get out of this place, and I'm going to move on to the next chapter of my life." But you think about it. Joseph sitting down there in that dungeon, when is that butler going to tell the Pharaoh that I can get out of here? 1 day goes by, 1 week goes by, 1 month goes by, 1 year goes by. When is he going to tell the Pharaoh? Finally, after 2 years, the Pharaoh has a dream. You see God working all this stuff together. God knows exactly what he's doing. But I want you to notice that Joseph remained absolute, even in the midst of disappointment. As Christians, sometimes we get discouraged. Just like in any relationship, sometimes there's the ups and then there's the downs. We get discouraged from time to time and you wonder, when is this circumstance, when is it going to change? When is this thing going to go away? Or when is the answer going to come to whatever the problem is that you're facing? Joseph perhaps thought those very same thoughts. When am I going to get out of here? God, you gave me this dream when I was a 17-year-old boy that I was going to do something great for you. And why am I stuck here right in a prison? You know, we ask why a lot. But I just want to encourage you tonight to remain absolute. Keep on trusting. God always knows what he's doing. You think that God's up in heaven squeezing a stress ball, wondering what's going to happen next? I don't think so. He's not looking to go play a round of golf to calm his nerves. He's not signing up for some shrink to tell him what's next. God knows exactly what's going to go on. The problem is we don't always know that. We don't always know what's going to happen next, but God always knows what's going to happen next. He remained absolute. "Be steadfast, always abounding, unmovable in the word." I can't even quote my scriptures tonight. Let me turn there. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. If you want to turn there, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We're going to look at a verse there. He remained absolute. He wasn't going anywhere. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse number 58. Chapter 15, verse number 58, the Bible says this. "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast," I like that, "unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor," I like this, "is not in vain in the Lord. Joseph remained steadfast. Perhaps you're here tonight and you're living in the 39th chapter. I just encourage you to remain steadfast. Keep on trusting the Lord. Keep exercising your faith. For without faith, without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Keep on trusting the Lord. We go back to chapter 50. We know what happens. Joseph gets out of prison. He gets restored, and now he's become second in command of the nation of Egypt there. And his dream that God gave him has come true. He followed the Lord. He had a relationship with the Almighty. He stayed faithful to God. He had a remarkable attitude. He remained steadfast. Look, please, again, chapter number 50 and verse number 20. But as for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good to bring it to pass, as it is this day to save much people alive. Some people say that is the Romans 8:28 of the Old Testament. I love Romans 8:28. And we know. Let me remind you what that word means. And we know. We may not understand how everything's going to fit together, but that just says that we trust God. We know. We have a confidence in that what's going to happen is going to happen for our good. And we know. And again, that's not I hope so. I if the deacons vote so, or if I win the lottery so, or whatever the case is. But the Bible says there, we know so. You can always trust your Father. You can trust God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and are the called according to His purpose. It is a faithful promise. Romans 8:28, a faithful promise. God said that He's going to bring you through. He's going to be with you every step of the way that you go. Yes, you may have been wrong, and maybe you have reason to be bitter, or maybe you have reason to be angry or upset, but you have a relationship with the Almighty. You remain steadfast. You keep trusting in the Lord. You have a remarkable attitude, and this is a faithful promise that God knows everything that is going on in your life. Everything is going according to plan. It is a faithful promise. It is a fruitful process, and we know that all things work together for good. It's a work. God is working in your life, being confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you shall perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. God is still working in your life. Remain steadfast. It is a fruitful process. And then you have a finished product. God is trying to make you become more like His Son, Jesus Christ. He's trying to make a beautiful vessel. You know, I wouldn't go up to my mom, into mom's house and get the flour and start eating flour. I wouldn't go and just crack an egg and dump it in my mouth, raw egg. Some of y'all do that. That's okay, though. But I wouldn't do any of those things. But you put those things, the shortening together and the flour together, and you put it through the fire. I wish you'd call me because I really love cake. This is what God does. He takes circumstances here and there, and sometimes they're great. Sometimes they're hard to go through. But He puts them together, and He puts it through the fire, a faithful promise, a fruitful process, and then He makes a finished product. God knows exactly what He's doing. Ask Joseph. I don't know where you are tonight in your life. Maybe you're going through struggle, trials. You're living in the 39th chapter, but keep trusting God. Don't put in for retirement just yet. Don't throw in the towel just yet. God knows exactly what He's doing. I'll finish with this. When I was a kid, I used to love watching Bob Ross. He was the man. Bob Ross had that giant afro. I love that thing. Wish I could do it. Can't, though, so I won't. But I remember waking up early in the morning. I can't wait to see what Bob Ross is going to paint today. I had my bowl of Fruit Loops. I was so excited. All right, Bobby, paint me a picture. The show comes on. He's like, hello, everybody out there. Today we're going to paint something beautiful. We're going to paint a picture of a forest. We're going to paint a picture of a stream in that forest and mountains in the background and little birds here and there. Awesome. All right, Bobby, impress me. So I sat there on the couch eating my Fruit Loops. And he'd get up and he'd say, we're going to put these colors together and we're going to put a little bit of this here. And I said, well, that doesn't look like a forest. That doesn't look like a river, mountains, or birds. But I kept watching because inevitably I knew it was going to happen. By the end of the half an hour show, it was going to be exactly what he said it was going to be. Oh, awesome. All right, Bob Ross, keep on painting. All right, boys and girls, men and gentlemen, we're going to paint these two, put these two colors together here and this there, and we're going to do this little brush stroke. I don't even know what that was. But you know what? At first, I didn't understand. He said it was going to look like this, but it doesn't look like what he says it does. But as the painting progressed on, the TV show progressed on, you know what happens at the end of the show? With 29 minutes gone, 1 minute left, he puts the last little bird there, and he says, and there you go. A beautiful forest with a river and mountains in the background and beautiful birds flying through the sky. Wow, I'm impressed. I need to get more Fruit Loops. But you know what? Sometimes in our lives, we know we can trust our Father. We can trust God. God says He's trying to make a vessel out of us. He's doing a work in our lives. And we know that God is good based on the authority of the Word of God. But sometimes in our life, the circumstances are not good. But I challenge you tonight to keep on trusting the Master Painter. He knows exactly what He's doing. And the wonderful thing about our painter, our Father who paints these wonderful pictures, He paints our mistakes into the pictures because He makes masterpieces. But I encourage you tonight, when you're living in the 39th chapter, keep your relationship with the Almighty strong. Keep your remarkable attitude. It is your choice what you're going to do to what comes into your life. And then remain absolute. Be steadfast. Keep trusting. Keep putting your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. He knows exactly what is going on. Living in the 39th chapter. Father, thank you so much for your goodness to us. Lord, I pray that if this message was a blessing to somebody, that would be a help to somebody, Father. Your word is so powerful. It's sharper than a two-edged sword. I pray that, Lord, if there's anybody here, Lord, that they're living in despair, discouragement, Lord, they've been wronged, whatever the case is, I pray, Father, that they would follow the example of Joseph and to keep their relationship with you right, to keep their attitude right with you, and, Lord, to remain absolute in their service to you. And Father, I pray again, if there's somebody here tonight that doesn't know you as Savior, Lord, please, I pray that you would save them. And, Lord, thank you so much for this church. I pray you bless now in Jesus' name.